And John's book, his epistle, is a practical epistle written to Christians to help us in our walk. And as we saw in chapter 1, the importance of confessing our sin, of keeping those short accounts with God. And then we were reminded last week that when we do sin, we have the Lord as our intercessor to help us. But tonight, this passage is as practical as they come. Notice in beginning there in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." So walk as He walked. Let's pray. Lord, I pray You'd use Your word in our hearts tonight. Thank You for it. And we just want to leave changed by it tonight, Lord. We open our hearts to You now. Pray You'll meet with us and You'll multiply the word in our lives to draw us closer to You and make us more like You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one thing to love Jesus. It's another thing to say that we love Jesus. But it's another thing to truly love Jesus. Because according to God's word, loving Jesus is obedience. It's not what we feel. It's not what we say. It's not what we think. It's what we do. It's when we obey. As He says here, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Look over at 1 John chapter 5. This is a theme of John's. Remember, I told you that one of the key words of John is this word love. 46 times in this tiny book of 5 chapters, the word love comes up. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God. So God is saying, this is love when we obey. Isn't that interesting? And so He's telling us here in 1 John chapter 2, and by the way, 1 John gives a lot of these evidences of knowing we're truly saved. Later on in chapter 3, we're going to find out we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. That's in chapter 3, verse 14. So He says one of the evidences of our salvation is knowing that when we get saved, all of a sudden we have this love for other Christians that just overcomes us. And also over in chapter 4, verse 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." So another reason, or another evidence, if you will, of salvation is that God moves in and the Holy Spirit indwells us. And so one of the evidences John gives is the Spirit's indwelling. One of them is that we have this love for other Christians. But here in chapter 2, verse 3, it's when we have this desire to please Him by obeying Him. He's given us His commandments in His Word. He's made it clear what He wants of us. And He says one of the ways that we can know that we know Him is when we have this desire to obey. Verse 4, "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar." That's some pretty strong words, isn't it? So to claim that we are close to God, to claim that we know God on a one-on-one, personable level, while living in disobedience, God says we're lying. Because if we're living in disobedience, we are not close to God, and we do not know God like we should. The Bible says the truth is not in Him. The truth of God is not controlling us. The truth of God is not guiding us. If we're living in disobedience. Let me give you an example over in Titus chapter 1, if you turn back there in verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Where the Bible says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So look at that saying. They profess that they know God. This is what we're talking about in these first couple of verses. Knowing God, truly knowing God. They profess that they know Him, but their works say otherwise. And that's what John is saying. If we say we know Him and we keep not His commandments, we're lying. Some pretty strong words there. And then look at 3 John, if you would, verse 4, where John is talking to one of the churches that he's trying to encourage here. And notice what he says to them. 3 John verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is what God wants. He wants us to walk in truth. In other words, live an obedient Christian life. Keep His commandments. We're going to see this over and over in 1 John. Keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. And you know, Jesus said the same thing, didn't He? In John 14, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He said in John 14, 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He said in verse 23, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. Same thing. So we see this strong connection in God's program between love and obedience. That obedience is love. And that is how we show our love for the Lord. Now look at 1 John 4, verse 12, where the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So here we have loving one another in the same verse as God's love being perfected in us. How can that be? Well, how do you think God perfects His love in us? How do you think God teaches us to love better, to love more, to rely on His love which is in us? By bringing people into our lives to love. That's what He says. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. So this love, we show love to God through obedience to His commandments. You know what? We show love to others the same way. Love is what we do. God so loved the world that He gave. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so when we give ourselves for others, when we are a blessing to others through our actions and our words, our behavior, that's how we love them. And that pleases God. What pleases God as far as our fellowship with Him is obedience. To the point that is love, according to God's Word, 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So, it's an amazing truth, and we're going to see it again. But then He gets us to verse 6, which is the heart of the message tonight. He that saith he abideth in Him. And we're not talking about saved versus unsaved tonight. I hope you understand that. He's writing to people that are saved. That's a given. But because you're saved, that doesn't mean you're abiding in Him. That's a choice to abide in Jesus. And Jesus talks about that over in John chapter 15. Let's turn back there. So, again, you know, we talk about the same as far as the Spirit of God. The Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Every Christian lives in the Spirit, but not every Christian walks in the Spirit. Not every Christian is filled by the Spirit. Every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit, but not every Christian is being led by the Spirit. Same thing here. If you're saved, you have Jesus. But that doesn't mean you're abiding in Him. Notice John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me ye can do nothing. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Abide in. God is saying that the only way we can truly please Him is by abiding in Him. Because when we abide in Him, then we're going to obey Him. So what does that mean? It means to be yielded to Him. It means to let Him control our lives. Being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, same thing. And then John's going to talk more about it. Let's go over to chapter 2 of 1 John again, but verse 28 this time. Notice 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, there it is again, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There's going to be some Christians, when the trumpet blows, they're going to be ashamed. It'll be too late to do anything about it, because we're going to be instantly with the Lord in the clouds. But some Christians will be ashamed. God says the only way to avoid that is to what? Abide in him. So that when he does appear, we have confidence. That doesn't mean we're perfect. None of us are perfect, but we have confidence because we know we're abiding in him and we're walking with him and we're obeying him. In other words, we're loving him. Then look at 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in him, look at those next two words, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. So if we're sinning, we're not abiding. And if we're abiding, we're not sinning. That's what God says. So every time that we sin, it means we're not abiding, which is where God wants us to be. I mean, God promised us he can deliver us from temptation, right? He will give us a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. It's not that God doesn't have the power, it's that we don't rely on him. We don't abide in him. And so ultimately what God's after is, verse 3, obedience, but verse 6, walk even as he walked. Basically, to walk as Jesus walked. You know, there was a big movement back, I think, in the 70s. What would Jesus do? People wore little bracelets and everything, WWJD and all this. It kind of fell by the wayside. But it was actually quite scriptural, and it was this verse. Walk even as he walked. That's ultimately what God's after. That we walk as Jesus walked. Now if you go back to John again, chapter 13 this time, the Gospel of John. Jesus, in chapter 13, we know what happened. He washed the disciples' feet. Here in John chapter 13, as they were there in that upper room, he's about ready to be betrayed and taken and tried and then eventually crucified. And he sets aside this special intimate time with his 12 disciples, well, eventually just 11 after Judas leaves. And he gives them some, these great truths of 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's all Jesus just alone with his disciples. But before he gives them all these great truths, the first thing he does is wash their feet. And when he's done, he says in verse 15, I have given you an example. So we don't have to beat around the bush about what it was about. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. That's pretty clear. I want you to do what I did. I want you to serve one another. Because that was what he was doing. He was serving them. Here's the Lord, the creator of the universe, the God of all, washing dirt off of sinners' feet. And he says, I want you to follow my example. Now another verse, go to Romans 8:29, where again, we're told that God ultimately wants us to be conformed. This is what he's after. He wants us to be like Jesus. That's his ultimate goal for us here on earth. When we get to heaven, we will be. We'll get our new bodies. But notice Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Think about what that's saying. The image of his Son. We're talking tonight about walking as he walked. This is what God's trying to do in our lives. He brings trials, he brings people, he brings whatever into our lives, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, church, everything. It's all God conforming us, little by little, reconforming us so that we will be like Jesus, the image of his Son. That's what he wants of us. And then go to 1 Peter 2:21. We'll see it again. 1 Peter 2:21. Where again, it's all about being like Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. So there it is again. Follow his steps. Here we see in 1 John 2, walk even as he walked. Here we see in 1 Peter 2, follow his steps. This is what God's trying to do in our lives. Now it can't happen without, as we saw in 1 John 2, the truth. The application of this book is the only way it's possible that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that we can learn to walk as he walked, that we can learn to abide in him so that we don't sin. Ultimately, obey. That's the point of it, isn't it? Chapter 2, verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we what? Keep his commandments. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word. So, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. There's that word keep. Keep his commandments. Keep his word. That's what God's trying to do in our lives. Bring us to that point where we love him so much, where we're abiding in him, where we're being conformed by his word, by the Holy Spirit, such that we actually desire to obey him. We want to obey him because we love him. And that pleases God when we obey him. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So Jesus is constantly working in our lives, molding us, conforming us so that we'll abide in him, so that we'll walk as he walked. That's what he wants for each one of us. And you know what? It's possible, or he wouldn't have told us to do it. Because I hear Christians all the time saying, it's just not possible. I can't do it. I'm too much of a sinner. I'm too weak. Well, then why did God tell us to do it if it's not possible? Why did he tell us to walk as Jesus walked if we just can't do it? Is he just trying to be mean? No. It is possible. But it falls on us to learn to abide. 100% be abiding constantly in Jesus Christ. And then it can happen. So God wants us to walk as he walked. Let's pray.